Okay, this is San Diego Mission Academy, operated by Alta Vista Public Charter, Inc. It is Tuesday, June 2nd, 2020 at 2:30. We're going to go over our norms real quick. You guys are getting better about putting it on mute. We're progressing. And please say your full name if you address the board and speak clearly. And please do not place your phone on hold. If you need to leave the call, please hang up and then dial back to the teleconference. We'll start with the meeting logistics. On March 17, 2020, Governor Newsom issued Executive Order N-2920 related to the COVID-19 pandemic. The executive order allows state bodies covered by the Brown Act to hold public meetings via teleconferencing. The public is encouraged to participate in the meeting telephonically by dialing the conference line listed above and may submit written comments for prior consideration to the board members. Comments can be submitted to vmendoza at sdmissionacademy.org. Public comment on the day of the meeting can also be given during the public comment section of the public meeting. We have reasonable accommodations will be provided for any individual with a disability, and since we're not in person, we don't have to worry about that. Reminder that by state law, SB 126, this meeting will be audio recorded and posted on the Charter School website. So we'll call the meeting to order, and we'll report attendance and guests, starting with Carol Stanford, present, Claudette Beck, present, Mike Malloy,
present,
Don Dorch,
present,
and Barbara Willebrand, present. So we have a quorum. We're now going to do the Pledge of Allegiance, and this time it's your turn, Mike, okay? Everybody can
pledge allegiance.
You're welcome. Here we go.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That was beautiful. All right, we're going to do staff introductions, starting with corporate officers.
Yes, Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer.
Jerry Vincent, Corporate. Thank you. Jerry Vincent, Corporate CFO, Secretary.
All right. And then we're going to go to school staff.
Hi, this is the Superintendent.
Okay. Kevin Ogden, I'm the liaison to the authorizer, Warren Unified.
Jeff Martineau, Vice President, Charter Relations.
All right, and that's school legal counsel?
Phil Thompson, attorney for the school.
Donna
Adam Miller, attorney for the school.
Okay, yeah, Darla.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Adam, go ahead.
Adam Miller, attorney for the school.
Darla Palfreyman with Bill J. Thompson.
All right. And any advisors who are supporting agenda items are presenting?
Hi, this is Mayor. I'm your Director of Finance with LLAC.
And this is Geeta Sharifi. I'm the Chief Financial Officer with LLAC.
Gallagher Wall, Senior VP of Finance with LLAC.
Dr. John Fox, Director of LCAP and Accountability.
Hi, this is Michelle Lopez, Counsel, LLAC.
All right, and then any other staff who wishes to introduce themselves? Anybody else who hasn't introduced herself? All right, so we're done with that. So we now go to E, approved agenda for the June 2nd, 2020 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. Has everyone read that or had a chance to look at it? And does anybody have any questions? Can I get a motion and a second? John moved. And?
Claudette Beck, second.
All right, so we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
All right, so E has passed with five ayes. We're now on F, approved minutes of the April 21, 2020 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. Everyone has read those. Is there a question, or have you read those, and if there are any questions or discussion? Get a motion and a second.
Mike Malloy moves.
Barbara Willebrand second. Okay, Mike moved and Barb seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
Alright, so F has passed with 5 ayes. So we are now on the consent agenda 2A. All items listed under consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. They are 1 through 4. The board will be asked to approve the revised mathematic placement policy. We will be asked to approve the 2020-21 student parent handbook, approve the revised suspension and expulsion policy, and also the uniform complaint report for 2019-2020 school year, and there are no reports that have been received. And the page numbers are behind each one of these. So anyone on the board want any of the consent agenda 1 through 4 taken off, or can I get a motion and a second to pass 2A 1 through 4?
Beck, I'll make a motion to approve a consent agenda item 1 through 4.
Barbara Willebrand, second. Okay, so Claudette Beck motion and Barbara second. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 2A 1 through 4 has passed with 5 ayes. Public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item in the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. If you would like to participate in public comment, you must have signed in before the commencement of the meeting. Also, our teleconference line is open to members of the public who wish to participate in public comment. The time allotted for presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, except in the case where a member of the public utilizes a translator, in which case the time allotted... Excuse me, I lost my... will not exceed 6 minutes. The total time allotted for public comment will not exceed 18 minutes per agenda item or 10 minutes for non-agenda items. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for a future meeting. Is there anyone from the public who would like to introduce themselves? And no one from the public has requested to speak. All right. So being no one from the public, we'll go to 4. School reports and information. Area superintendent updates, Dr. Kasich.
Hi, board. I would like to provide you a few school updates. COVID-19 update. Our school continues to remain opening and functioning as normal. We're actively enrolling and graduating students, so our enrollment has been stable since the last board meeting. Teachers and staff focus on student well-being and mental health. We are now sending out cards weekly with students reaching out to their teachers to say thank you. With the protests and social unrest that is going on in the community, but the events of the past week, weekend, and recently as last night are already traumatized. Students and families are being traumatized yet again. Our teachers, counselor, and staff are reaching out to our families to let them know that we are here for them, making sure that they are safe, have the basic necessities, and know how to access various resources. Our partners in trauma-informed practices, ACES Connection, assisted us in creating a post within their online community, which has since been shared throughout California. They have also been added to the findhelp.org website as an educational resource. We have our first virtual graduation ceremony this Thursday at 5 p.m. Should have received an invite on Friday evening via email from me. This school year, we have graduated a total of 19 students. We have many more very close to graduating. And the biggest news I have besides graduating students is that we are now NCAA approved. So those athletes who wish to take courses with us during the summer or enroll with us so that they can travel and participate in NCAA sanctioned activities can now do so as we are approved. A summary of our current enrollments, we're currently at 152 students, which is down 3 from our last board meeting. This is due to graduating 4 students in the past month, all for good cause. Our students' grade levels range from 7 through 12, ages 13 to 24. We have 31 SPED students, which is 20% of our population. We have 5 foster youth, 15 homeless youth. We anticipate that number increasing due to COVID-19 and the events going on in the local communities. And like I said, we have 19 graduates. That concludes my school report. Does anyone have any questions?
I'm muted. I'm sorry. I was talking to the mute button. That's wonderful, Dr. Kasich. Dr. Kasich, I'm going to be on your meeting on the 4th.
How awesome. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else on the board want to say anything? Okay, we'll go to 4B.
Yes.
Discussion of graduation. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to tell Christina that, I have a board meeting right at that time. It's a late one, but because I was planning on he's going to her graduation also, but I won't be able to do that.
Okay, well, we're going to record the meeting, the graduation, so I'll make sure I send out the link to the graduation to everyone to see you later.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, so now we're on 4B, discussion of graduation requirements. Dr. Kasich.
Yes, and on the agenda, this says vote, but it's purely for a discussion. In San Diego, approximately 80% of our students are ages 17 to 24. Of those 80% of the students, there's only about 40% in grades 11 or 12. So the majority of those students are significantly behind in credit and are in 9th or 10th grade. Our current diploma track is 210 credits and is aligned to go directly to a 4-year university. With 80% of our students being so far credit deficient, they academically are not eligible to attend a 4-year university directly out of high school. And as such, we direct them to a community college. The team in San Diego has asked and we've discussed the possibility of moving to a 130 credit diploma, which is the state minimum requirements to graduate high school. This diploma has 3 years of English, 3 years of social studies, 2 years of math, which includes 1 year of algebra, 2 years of science, 2 years of PE, and 1 year of visual and performing arts, or VTE credit. We have a focus in our LCAP to improve our CTE course offerings. So I would just like to bring to the board for discussion about the possibility of changing our diploma requirements and our graduation track to be a 130 requirement, with counseling and other supports provided to students who do wish to be college ready at the 4-year university level to have a path that's recommended for 210, but have the minimum credit requirements be 130. I seek the feedback of the board because you have much more experience in this than I do and my team does, so we would appreciate any input that you may have.
I do have one question. How would this impact our WASC accreditations when we go through it? How would they do that?
That is a very good question, and I will ask others to see what they feel. I believe as long as we meet the minimum requirements, we'll be fine with WASC, but I will definitely follow up with that.
So
this is Kevin August. Can I jump in for just a second? Because I actually know the answer to this. This is no different than currently Diego Hills Central, Diego Valley East, and San Diego Workforce Innovation. They are all WASC accredited. They also, it's not as prevalent as Christine's population. They also have students that range up to age 24, and they're able to use the 130 for those students as it's appropriate, and they are covered by WAC accreditation of those other three charters.
That's wonderful.
Wow. So I think, I think the difference here is we're looking at this being our diploma requirement for all students and not just for those who are homeless, foster, on probation, and meet certain criteria. This would just be for all students across the board with recommendations of students trying to achieve more and be college ready at a higher level.
My apologies, Christine. I didn't pick up that nuance. Okay.
What's really intriguing, it can really make or break us. I mean, it's something we really have to look into. I like it a lot, but I don't know. There might be a real thing here. It might attract a lot of kids. We'll see. All right.
I'll continue with the board. I'll look into other schools and the requirements and see if there are any similar schools that are alternative schools, such as ours, that do have the 130 as the graduation requirement. And I'll present that at the next board meeting.
All right. Anybody else? All right, so we're on the T, report of mathematics placement result. Dr. Casey.
That's me again. So I have an introduction to this background. The California Mathematics Placement Act of 2015 required our school to adopt a fair, objective, and transparent mathematics policy. Before the beginning of the 2016 school year, our policy was first adopted in 2018. As you saw on today's consent agenda, was revised to include some minor technical revisions. The policy addresses students entering ninth grade and includes a number of required elements to ensure equity in the student's achievement, including the following. Considers multiple objective academic measures. Includes at least one placement checkpoint within the first month of school year to ensure accurate placement and to prevent reevaluation of individual student progress. Requires an annual examination of pupil placement data to ensure that students are not held back in a disproportionate manner based on the basis of their race, ethnicity, gender, or socioeconomic background. Requires an annual report to be provided to the governing board. Offers clear and timely recourse for each pupil and his or her parent or legal guardian questions the student placement. And requires the policy to be posted on each school's website. For this year's annual report, we are pleased to report that all ninth grade students progressed in their mathematics courses and none were held back. We will continue to evaluate this data and report to the board next year pursuant to the board policy.
Okay. Any questions, comments? All right. We'll move on then to finance update for Sherry Gunson.
Thank you, board. I would like to update all of you on our Form 990 filing. We are have been granted an extension the entire United States has been granted an extension due to COVID-19. So we are in the process of completing the form. We will file it timely, and we will provide the board a copy prior to submission to the IRS. On another note, a positive note, we did, in fact, qualify and receive the Payroll Protection Program loan, if you will, of $208,078. And later in the agenda, the board will be asked to vote on a forgiveness a loan forgiveness for that amount. But to help facilitate the ease of the PPP program and the movement of the proper and bona fide disbursement of those funds, we would like to inform the board that we will be working with Hoppy Bank and using ACH methodology to move funds to and from. as the condition of the receiving of those funds. Any questions, comments?
Okay, my phone slipped out. Hold on. I have to call back in, okay?
Can you hear me?
Okay, so we'll hold.
Okay, then you can hear me. I don't have to call back in. I'm good. All right. I don't know what I did. So now, any questions for her? Any discussion? All right. We're at 5A, action items. Board will be asked to confirm its acknowledgement that Carol Stanford, Claudette Beck, Mike Malloy, John Dorch, and Barbara Willebrand have been reappointed as members of the Board of Directors of Educational Advancement Corporation, the sole member of Alta Vista Public Charter, Inc. for the term July 1st, 2020 through June 30th, 2021. Jerry Henson.
This item is This item is recommending the board members confirm their acknowledgement of EAC's action.
All right. So any discussion or questions? Can I have a motion and a second?
Mike Malloy makes a motion. John Dorch second.
Okay, Mike motion and John second. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Depp?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
All right, so 5A has passed with 5 ayes. On 5B, the board will be asked to reauthorize approved bank account signers to conduct necessary banking matters. Jared Denson, this is on page 95.
Thank you, Madam President. We are asking the board to authorize the removal of Pat Hill as a signer, the removal of Janet Wilson as a signer, and the addition of Dr. Tappet as a signer.
All right. Any questions or discussion? Can I have a motion or a second?
Give it to her.
Barbara? Okay, Barbara, you motioned, and Mike, you seconded, or is that John?
No, it's Mike.
Okay, so Barbara moved, and Mike seconded. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Desk?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
Right, so 5B has passed. We're at 5C. The office will be asked to reauthorize the officers of the corporation to award discretionary incentives to employees at various sundry times. Dr. Chasen?
Yes. We're asking the board to reauthorize the officers of the corporation to award discretionary incentives. And those incentives will be determined based on current budgetary and financials of the school.
All right. Any discussion? Can I have a motion and a second?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second. Carol seconded this time. All right. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Deck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 5C has passed with 5 ayes. 5D, the board will be asked to approve the request for loan forgiveness of the Small Business Association Payroll Protection Program, PPP. Jerry.
Thank you. Board, this is the forgiveness that I referred to earlier. It's a process by which we must qualify our bona fide expenses and ask for loan forgiveness for the amount of the payroll protection program that we had received. So if I may, I will defer to Gita. She can answer all of the granular questions and explain all of the nuances of the program. Gita?
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Jerry. So if you refer to pages 97 to 99, there's a form called, it's a checklist from Home Bank, PPP Forgiveness Checklist, that was provided to the school for gathering documents the guidelines in order to apply for forgiveness. The school and LLAC did a cash analysis with the school officials and reviewed the 3-year cash projection. And based on the cash projection that was prepared, currently the school, the school currently, the monthly estimated expenses are around $275,000. The PPP loan was dispersed and received from Hungry Bank on May 7th for the amount of $280,000. So there were two assumptions made on the cash analysis. One is if the school accepts and keeps the loan, and one that if the school didn't have the loan. So if the school does not accept the loan and doesn't apply for forgiveness, in July of 2020, which is next month, the school has to borrow funds of close to $550,000. And thereafter, between $40,000 to $160,000 in order to be able to make up expenditures for the upcoming fiscal year. If the school accepts and applies for forgiveness, still the school has to borrow funds, but not as much, closer to $270,000 in July. The reason for the request for the borrowing in the month of July is because there is going to be a deferral on the apportionment of the funds for the school in the month of June of this fiscal year. And then we're also anticipating deferrals in the month of April, May, and June of 2021. And that really puts pressure on the cash situation for the school. So there is an action item on the board agenda to approve for request for approval for the forgiveness. Part of the guidelines, and again, the guidelines constantly change, and we are watching for that. So as soon as we get new guidelines, we'll ensure that the school does comply with all the guidelines. But currently, it states that starting week 7, after the funding, the borrower is required to reach out to the bank, which in the school scenario is the Hungry Bank, to submit the forgiveness request. So we're asking the board to request for forgiveness for the amount of $280,078. And that concludes my section. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to ask it.
All right, board, any questions? Let's have a motion and a second.
Motion, Mike Malloy. Second, John Dorch.
All right, motion by Mike, second by John. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Deck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
And Barbara Wilbrandt?
Aye.
So 5D has passed. We're at 5E. The board will be asked to approve the local control funding formula, the LCFF, which drives the primary source of revenue for the charter school. Jerry Benson.
Yes, thank you. And as you have stated, the LCFF is the primary source of revenue for the charter school. And so I will defer to Claudia Wolf to speak to you about those amounts. And if you have any questions, please feel free to ask.
Thank you, Jerry. As Jerry said, LCFF funding is the largest source of revenue for the school, and the total amount the school will receive for on 2021 is going to be $3,232,486 in revenue. This total includes base funding that depends exclusively on ADA by grade span, and the amount is going to be $2,655,900, or 82% of all total LCFF funding. The second portion of the LCFF formula is going to be supplemental and concentration funding. funding, and it's going to be in the amount of $576,596, or 18% of the total LCFM funding. This amount is determined by the number of pupils of the school that the school serves that are identified as low-income, homeless English learners, or foster children. Any questions from the board?
Being none, can I have a motion and a second for 5F? Or will
I amend the... Okay,
Barbara? Barbara motion and Claudette second. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Bett?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 5F has passed.
Five E.
I'm blind here. Okay, so 5F, the board will be asked to approve as we pass with 5I. Go back. All right. So 5F, the board will be asked to approve the educational protecting account spending determination. Jerry Gibson.
Yes. The EPA is a component of the LCFF funding. And those dollars are to be used for instruction only. And it has to be posted on our website every year. And I will ask Claudio to speak to the board about those numbers specifically and any questions that you may have. Please ask the board.
Thank you, Jerry. If you refer to page 104 of the package, you're going to see page 5 of Form 62 of the budget. And the second line under code 8012 shows the amount, the EPA funding that the school will receive this year, 1920, and next year, 2021. The EPA revenue for current year will be $21,788. And for next year, 2021, the estimated EPA revenue based on the latest LCFS calculator is going to be $60,000. And all funds will be spent in instruction.
That's good. That's really good. All right. Any questions from anyone? Can I have a motion and a second?
Mike Malloy motions.
Barbara Willebrand second. Okay. So Mike Malloy motions and Barbara Willebrand second. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
All right, so 5F has passed with 5I. We're now on 5G. The board will be asked to approve the budget for the 2020-21 fiscal year of the COVID-19 operations report. Dr. Kasich.
Hi, board. I'd like to start with the COVID-19 written operations report and a little bit of background about that. Governor Newsom issued Executive Order N-56-20 on April 22nd, 2020, which extends the deadline to adopt the Local Control and Accountability Plan annual update and budget overview for parents to December 15th, on the condition that the governing board of the local education agency adopt a written report by July 1st, 2020. This report must be adopted at the same meeting as the school budget. Is sent to the County Office of Education and our authorizer. We will post it on the homepage of the school website. The COVID-19 written operations report utilizes the template provided by the California Department of Education for every LEA in the state. This report describes the programmatic changes that were made in response to COVID-19 emergency and the major impact of school closure on students and families. This report meets the requirements by describing how we are meeting the needs of unduplicated students and steps taken to continue to support the delivery of high-quality distance learning, how we provide school meals in a non-congregate setting, and arrange for the supervision of students during school hours. So our COVID-19 operations written report, we remained open. So we just stated in the report the extra support that we provided to students, such as reaching out more frequently throughout the week,
through not only our electronic platforms such as text messaging, email, and live meetings with them, but also phone calls and sending cards via regular mail, encouraging our students to do work and supporting their families. We also provided additional support for all of our English learners, foster youth, and low-income students. We reached out to make sure that they had working equipment and a good environment to work in. We loaned out any equipment that we needed to. We also referred them to any local organizations that could provide food and shelter. We do not provide school meals to students, so we referred them to their resident schools for meals, and we're inform students and families in need of additional supports available through various food banks and local resources. We also created a resources page on our website, and any resources we found that were reliable and valid, we posted on the website. Our students are 100% virtual, so we have to say how we supervise students during normal, ordinary school hours. We rely on for the most part, parents to supervise younger students that are in 6th and 7th grade, and our older students are of age and can essentially, by law, supervise themselves while their parents are at work. And so our students typically do not require child care. Along with the COVID-19 report, we also have our school budget. Been in contact with my controller very closely. We've been working together to create the 2020-21 budget. We've been giving you previews of this over time as we've been developing it due to the condition of our 2019-2020 budget. We have a conservative increase in ADA. A lot of the ADA is going to come from summer school. We are anticipating an increase in enrollment throughout the school year, but we made that increase pretty conservative, and we will adjust our budget as our ADA may change up or down, and you're prepared to make those changes along the way. With an increase in revenue due to an increase in ADA, our expenses will also increase. I'm going to defer to the finance team support from LLA to give you more details about the budget.
Hi, good afternoon, board. This is Araceli Mayoro, and I will be giving you guys a little bit of the highlights of what's included in the budget report for San Diego Mission Academy. So as many of you have heard from Dr. Cassett, the budget incorporates a reduction of funding with the negative fallout of 7.5%. At this point, San Diego Mission Academy is projecting an ADA of 300 for next year. This projection shows an increase of 191 ADA compared to our current ADA of 109. These are what we think very conservative projections, and we anticipate positive trends in enrollment in the next fiscal year. The revenue from LCFS sources is projected to increase from $1.3 million to about $3.2 million. Which is about 150% due to the projected increase in ADA in fiscal year 2021. Federal special ed funds are projected at $18,000. This is new revenue to the school. We didn't receive any federal special ed funds in current year, which is the 1920 fiscal year. Other state revenues such as state special ed, mandated block funds, and lottery also reflect an impact of ADA increase and will increase by 179%, which is going from $80,000 a year to $223,000 a year. At this point, the school is not projecting or not budgeting for any local revenue. So the total revenue projected for the fiscal year 2021 will be $3.5 million, an increase of $2.1 million, which is about 157% as compared to current year projections of revenue. The budget reflects an increase of salary and benefits of about 56% due to the increase of students projected to be served in the next fiscal year. The budget does include additional purchases of software to the laptops and hotspots to support instructional needs. other student-driven expenditures and other operating costs were budgeted based on historical information. Contracted services were budgeted based on continuation of all existing contracts and adjusted to support the growth and ADA. San Diego Mission Academy is budgeting for an excess revenue of $170,000 for fiscal year 2021 and added to the current year and projection projected negative ending net position of $475,000. The school will end the fiscal year 2021 with a negative ending net position of $303,000. We also want to inform the board that the school is preparing for cash deferrals, but according to Figment, they will start this month, the month of June. They will impact payments of apportionments in April, May, and June of 2021. These deferrals will cause a 90-day delay in payments and will put a significant pressure to the school cash flow. At some point, the school will be missing 27% of payments of its annual revenue. School leaders, with the support of LLAC, are monitoring cash on a weekly basis and preparing to delay discretionary purchases of services based on the school cash conditions. So this work kind of summarizes the budget for San Diego Mission Academy for the fiscal year 2021. So now the board has any questions on the budget report. Any questions? Can I have a motion and a second for 5G? Bob Wilbrand moves.
Second.
Well, Barbara Wilbrand moved and Claudia Beck second. So we'll vote. Will Charles Stanford? Aye. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
And Barbara Wilbrand?
Aye.
So we have passed 5G with 5 aye votes. So now we're on 5H. The board will be asked to approve the consolidated application process and submission for all reports required for the 2020-2021 school year. Dr. Kasich.
At board, the consolidated application, or CONAP in short, is used by the California Department of Education to distribute categorical funds from various federal programs to county offices, school districts, and direct-funded charter schools throughout California. Annually, from mid-May to the end of June, each local education agency, using the consolidated application and reporting system, submits the spring release of the CONAP. Spring release documents participation in these programs and provides assurances that the LEA will comply with legal requirements of each program. Program entitlements are determined by formulas contained in the laws that create the program. The school will be opting out of the federal categorical program funding during the release of the annual consolidated application and reporting system. I recommend to the board that we approve the CONAP process and submission for all reports required for the 2020-2021 school year.
All right. Being done, can I have a motion and a second for 5E?
Mike moves. John moves.
And John second.
Okay.
So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 5H passes with 5 ayes. So now we're on 5 ayes, where we'll be asked to authorize the selling of receivables to the experienced and reputable financiers of receivables that needed to maintain adequate cash flow. Jerry Henson.
Yes, Board. Thank you. This item, we're asking you to authorize the selling of receivables as a last option, if needed, to maintain adequate cash flow with deferrals and things coming down the pipeline that we are aware of. So we're asking that you would allow us to sell receivables, if needed, as a last option. To maintain adequate cash flow. And if you have any questions or would like further commentary, I'd like to ask Claudio if he would like to say anything regarding the selling of receivables.
Thank you, Jerry. Yes, I just want to add that the interest rate is around 15 to 18% on average, and also reiterate that the school gives priority to less expensive available financing and will use sale of receivables only as the last resource of financing if only if other sources of financing are insufficient or not available at the time.
All right, any questions? Can I have a motion and a second?
Credit
Vic,
second.
All right, so Barbara Wilbert moved and Credit Vic second. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Credit Vic?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Wilbert?
Aye.
So 5I has passed with 5I. 5J, the board will be asked to obtain a line of credit from Cami Bank if needed to maintain adequate cash flow. Jerry Denson.
Yes, Board, we are asking for permission to proceed with the initial application process to Cami Bank for a line of credit. Their current rates are prime plus 0.5%, and with a minimum interest rate ranging anywhere from 3.75 to 5.75. There's no guarantee that would be what our minimum would be, but we would certainly bring those terms back to the board as an information item. But we're just asking for permission to proceed with the initial application at this time.
Can I have a motion and a second?
Mike Malloy makes a motion. John George makes a second.
Okay. Oh, wait. Mike Malloy and John George. Mike motion and John seconded. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Put it back.
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 5J has passed. We're on 5K. The board will be asked to approve obtaining a loan from LLAC during the 2020-21 fiscal year pursuant to a promissory note with interest. Jerry Denson.
So, Board, again, this is another option to leverage against possible deferrals that cause cash flow issues. So for this particular item, the board's asked to approve obtaining that loan up to $2 million with a 4% interest to be used only if needed to maintain adequate cash flow.
All right, any questions? Can I get a motion and a second for 5K?
Claudia Beck, I'll make a motion to approve.
Barbara Wilbert, second. All right, so Claudette motioned and Barbara seconded. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
Jerry Gist? Jerry, I put you in there. All right, I'm losing it. John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Wilbert, the last one. Okay, thank you. 5K is passed. I think I'm cracking up right now. All right, let's have observations and comments. Mr. Brown.
Yes, thank you so much, Madam President. Well, I haven't got a lot to say because it's just overwhelming what they can do with this budget matters and getting everything worked together and making sure that we're successful financially. So thanks to LLAC and the staff over there, and thank you guys for bearing with this long-term program here today, but really something appreciated. Good night and good luck.
All right. Jerry.
Good night.
Yes, services of everyone who contribute to these processes is greatly appreciated. Christine, just congratulations on all of the work that you do, being as successful as you are with serving students that might otherwise not be served. So we're just so grateful to all of you. Thank you so much.
All
we are grateful. All right. Any board members would like anything to say, or anyone who would like to move to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second it. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
I don't know. I aye.
Been together for so long. I know. John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
Our meeting is adjourned.